Today, I've asked someone to actually preach. It's a person of the house. He hails from Chula Vista. He is the husband of one named Rosie. He has got three grown daughters, Amy, Olivia, and Nicole. He is the grandfather of three drop-dead gorgeous girls. Would you just stand this morning and welcome Brother Jim Gwynn? Come on, give it up for Jim Gwynn. Come on, let him know you love him this morning. Yeah! Love you, man. It's going to be good.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Yes. I thought he was going to say, give it up for him. He's my son. he said, no way. Praise the Lord. So, you know, I am so glad to be here. You know, there's a few things I love preaching on. I like preaching on Jesus. I like preaching on faith. I like preaching on miracles. I like preaching on the blood, and I like preaching on the lost. I like preaching on the lost. You know, I've never seen that show, but I like the picture. From what I hear, they got lost on an island. They were lost, a group of people, you know. But, you know, if you ever lost something, lose your keys. Anybody ever lose your keys? You know, I get up in the morning, and you got a routine down. I have a routine, 17 minutes from my door to the where I carried my thing. And because I go in early, the wind goes with me so I can cruise. I can get to work in 17 minutes. So sometimes you go to the door and you go, where's my keys? Next thing you know, you're going all over the house. You're trying to be quiet because it's before 5 in the morning. You're trying to be quiet, but you're going, my keys. Where are my keys? Your mind starts going crazy. Where did I leave them? Did I leave them at work? No, I drove the car home. Okay, that wasn't it. Okay, so you get going and you're just running all over. Finally, you find your keys in the couch or somewhere else and you make it to work. You know, let me relate to the young people. Okay. This thing, they're connected to it. It doesn't go anywhere without them. You know what I mean? We were back east last fall. And we're back seeing my dad, and it's all country back there. And our family, you know, we have like 180 acres of land surrounded by state land. So there's tons of forests, logging roads, different things. And we spent the day on a four-wheeler up all over the hill riding and stuff, up in the stone quarry and everything like that, riding. And we get back down to the house, and one of my daughters, and I won't say Olivia's name, but she went and said, where's my phone? Where's my phone? And she started looking all around the house, and panic starts hitting her. Where's my phone? And I said, okay, get my laptop. I love technology. They have this app that's called Find My Phone app. So you pull up, and she logs into it, and it shows Google Earth, and here's the whole mountain and everything up there, and you see it, and all of a sudden this blue dot pops, and it's up on the mountain. I go, it's up there. She gets on the four-wheeler, and they go up the hill, and a little while later, she comes back, found my phone, all happy. She probably wasn't happy going up the mountain, but she was happy coming back. You know, you lose something, and it gets you going. Lose your wallet. You know, some people, they have their whole life in their wallet, and all of a sudden, you lose your wallet, and you're thinking, what did I have in there? I had so many cards. I had so many things. What did I have in there? My license, my insurance, and I've got to cancel these cards because somebody's at Best Buy buying a computer with my card, and you're trying to figure out everything, and your mind's going crazy. How about, you ever lose a person? You laugh about it. But we were young, and we were at a department store one time, and all of a sudden, Rosie goes, where's so-and-so? And, you know, when you're in the department stores with girls, you're in the girls section with clothes everywhere. And she goes, where's so-and-so? And I just start looking. You know, something starts happening. You start looking for your kids. And we're calling, and she's not answering. And I beeline for the door because I say, I'm cutting off anything that's happening. So I beeline for the door to work my way back and come on the way back. She was underneath one of these racks. It was like a little doll house, and she was playing with her doll, and she just wasn't answering or listening or anything like that. But your heart gets going because your kids and your family are the most important thing in your life. And if you lose your kid, it's going to hit you hard. And I want to speak a little bit about lost. Lost people, lost. Lost. Can I preach this morning? Paul's life, the Apostle Paul's life was marked with an urgency, marked with, I've got to reach the lost. When you read about Paul and his life and he's in that place, he was marked with a passion for lost souls. That was his passion, was to reach souls. He had an unrelenting passion. It wouldn't stop. To reach people for Jesus, to reach people in what he'd found, to find lost people. He was on a mission. His whole life was, I'm on mission to reach the lost. I'm on mission to reach one more person. I'm on mission to do something and find somebody that's hungering and hurting. Said in Romans 15:20, says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by somebody else. The voice says, in the voice translation, it says, I've dreamed of preaching the gospel in places where no one has ever heard of the anointed. In the message, it says, my text has been, those who are never told of him, they'll see him. Those who've never heard of him, they'll get the message. That has to be inside of us. That's got to get inside of you and I today. How can we reach somebody for Jesus? How can we reach somebody that has never heard it? It's easy. Let me tell you this. It's easy to talk about Jesus when you're in church. Hey, God's awesome. Oh, yeah, I know Big JC, all this. And you're just, it's easy to talk about everything he did. It's easy to talk about Jesus when you're around your church friends. Get you on a bus or get you on a job or get you downtown, get you in the store, get you somewhere else, and all of a sudden it's like, you can't talk about him. You can't open your mouth about him. There has to be a passion in your life. We have to build a passion in your life. God, bring them in. I'm on a mission. Bring people that I can share about you. Bring people that I can go and tell them about you. God, bring them to me. God will set you up. If you'll start praying that, God will set you up. I pray that. Some days I don't say I pray it every morning. Then I'd be religious if I told you that. I'd be lying if I told you that. But I pray. And I say, God, bring somebody across my path today. Bring somebody that needs you. Bring somebody that I can share the gospel with, that I can go, and he will set you up. He'll have somebody walk up to you, and they'll be saying, oh, my kids are going crazy. Boop. Open door. Right. I'm having a tough time with my finances. I can't believe they're cutting back on our jobs. Open door. All kinds of things. God will set you up. He'll bring people right to you that are hurting on the inside that you can share about Jesus. You won't have to kick open the door because they're hungry and they're hurting and they need it. We have to have this passion. We have to have this passion where we'll open our mouth. Where we'll open our mouth wherever we're at. Where we'll speak wherever we're at. Where we will do it. When Christ goes and prompts us, the Holy Ghost will prompt you if you'll listen to him. And he'll prompt you more if you'll obey him. If you'll obey him, he'll start to prompt you and point out people to you. Point out people to you that you can go and be a light in darkness, that you can go and be that person. says in Colossians 1:28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Or we may present every man mature in Christ. That we can go and, he says, that's what we want to do. We want to bring people to a place of maturity. A people that we can go and bring them in, and not only that, we can help them grow. So many times people come into church and they go out the door and they never get a chance to grow. But God's calling you and I to reach the lost. God's calling you and I to go and do something. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. To go into the streets and let somebody know. To go in your sphere of influence. You may not realize it, but you have an area that you have influence in. You have influence in. And God's saying, reach that area. If you won't go all out here, reach where you can. Reach those people where you can. That's why we do this. That's why we struggle sometimes to open our mouth, because of the gospel of Jesus. That's why we put it all on the line. That's why we work. That's why we clean the church. We don't just clean the church to make it look clean, even though it needs it. We labor here in the church so when people come in, they're comfortable. They see the things in order. They don't see like we're all crazy. They drop their guard and they're open to the gospel. They're open to the gospel. That's why we labor for God. We labor because of what He's done for us. And we step into that. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also the Greek. It's for everybody. The gospel isn't just for you and your family. The gospel isn't just for you and your kind, your little clique. The gospel's for everybody. The world is lost. I've had chances to go places, and I'm blessed. And I'm not talking about just there, but here also. I went into Mongolia here. And I've gone into Mongolia a couple times. Mongolia, what a nation. Surrounded by China and Russia, it's landlocked. In 1989, if you Google it, they had 4 Christians in the nation. 1989. Not 1789 or 1589 or... 1989, they had 4 Christians in the nation. Now there's thousands of Christians. But the nation is so open for Jesus. A Buddhist nation that's opening up for the gospel. I talked to a pastor friend of mine who goes over there, and he said, you know what they need right now? He said, they need Bibles. We don't even think about it because we don't use ours, but they go and need them. He says there's pastors there that have preached for 2 years and all they have is a New Testament. They didn't even know there was an Old Testament. They had a New Testament Bible and they just started preaching Jesus. And they didn't even know there was an Old Testament. In our Bible school right now, we're teaching on the Old Testament, and I bet some of those students wish there wasn't an Old Testament. They're going, there are these books, and how do you say these names? And spell them. You know, Mongolia, no Bibles. I've gone into Africa. I went into Honduras here a couple of months ago, and going to Honduras, and we went into the gang prisons. MS-13, I don't know if any of you ever heard of them, or 18th Street Gang out of Honduras. They got gang prisons, big gang wars down there, drug wars. And we go into the gang prisons. We leave our passports at the front. We go into this prison, and there's no guards inside. You're in with them. You know, and here's a couple hundred guys, and you smell marijuana and different things because they don't go in there and stuff. It's tough. And they just opened up. Some of these guys just opened up. Tough guys. They're in there for life. Some of them in there for murder and life, and you're in there, and you're the gospel to them. You're the gospel to them. The next day, we went into their barrio, went into their neighborhood. You go into this gang neighborhood, and the lady driving the van, they've been down there for 15 years, 20 years, just ministering to them. And she said, she calls the car behind us. She said, roll down your windows. Roll down your windows, because if they don't see you, they're coming out with their guns. this little dirt road up on the side of the mountain, and we go in there and we pull up, and here's a shack like from here to the back wall there, and a guy's standing there with an assault rifle. This neighborhood, no other church has ever gone in there, they said. The police don't go into that neighborhood. The fire department doesn't go into that neighborhood. And this lady got an open door ministering to these women and children, and all of a sudden the gangs that are in there. And so we went in, we took food, we fed like 200 people, took 250 pair of shoes, we went and took medicine, and we started ministering to them. The gospel. The gospel that needs it, where the other gangs walk into that neighborhood and just start shooting kids and women and everybody because they don't want the kids to raise up and go into their gang. I mean, it's tough. But sometimes when you're reaching the lost, it's not comfortable for you. You've got to go past yourself. You've got to go and say, they're lost. They need Jesus. They need something. Paul wanted to reach the lost. His whole life was about saving lost people. You and I are challenged to live on mission. That's our challenge. That we have to have a challenge that I need to reach somebody. They're hurting. They need Jesus. Paul went through all kinds of things. Paul went to like 50 cities. Stanford University went and did a study, and you know, and as I was reading about this, he went to like 50 cities on foot and by boat. His first missionary trip was like 1,500 miles, his first missionary trip. And it says it cost him a little over 200 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. The second missionary trip was over 3,000 miles, and it cost him 400 denarii. Couple years' wages. It costs a lot to go on these boats. It costs a lot to, you know, to survive. And that was per person, it said. 400 denarii. 200 denarii. But he said, I'm going to reach people. Paul, it wasn't comfortable for him. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says, three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. Paul is misunderstood sometimes. If you're going to go and witness, you're going to get misunderstood. You know, I've been misunderstood. I've witnessed to people and had them, oh, go get a job. I said, if I told you, I probably have a better job than you. I didn't say it. I held it. You know, I just shared the love. I shared the love with them. The love of God. Yeah, sometimes you get misunderstood by church people. People are lost and you try to do something and they misunderstand you and all of a sudden they're just kind of, nee, 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 nee. But Paul was willing. What is lost? What is lost? Lost is when something belongs somewhere, but it's not there. It belongs here. But it's not there. My keys belong there, but they weren't there. Where are they? They're lost. Sometimes it's a place where you expect something to be, or you expect someone to be, but they haven't shown up. They haven't shown up. And they're lost. They're lost in a place, and you're going, God, where are they? Sometimes it's like a stray animal. You know, a stray animal, they go and they have no home or they wandered away from home. Sometimes people have wandered away from the home that they need to be in and they don't know how to get back without help. They aren't going to find their way home without help. And who's the help? You and me. There's people in Chula Vista, National City, wherever you are around here, there's people that are lost and the only way is your help to get them back. Your help to lead them back. They should be here, but they're not. They should be in church, but they're not. They should be serving God, but they're not. They're lost. They're lost. You know, lost people need to be valued. Lost people need to be valued. You know, I was talking to a man here last week, and he was talking about a girl that came into their church, and this girl, you know, that they brought into the church. She was like 16 years old, and she had alternative lifestyle, homosexual tendencies. So she wanted to serve God. She started to serve God, but all of a sudden people started rising up against him, saying, you know what? I don't want her around my girls. I don't want her around here, you know, and they started pushing and pushing. Till this girl, she wanted to serve God, but who pushed her out? People didn't value her. And she left and moved. He said she called a year later and she said, thank you. Thank you so much because you cared for me. She was serving God in another state, but she said, you cared for me. And I'm serving God now. And I'm free. Well, if there wasn't one person, if he'd have turned her away like everybody else, who knows where she'd be? Throw her back out to the wolves. Throw her back out there. She was lost. You know, maybe people are lost because they used to be somewhere, but they're not anymore. They used to be in church, but they're not. They're lost. They're lost. And we have to go and go after them. Sometimes there's people that you can think of right now if you've been here for a while and you go, I wonder where so-and-so is. Well, everybody's connected to this thing. Have you called them? You know, where's so-and-so? They're lost. Well, they didn't really want to serve God. You know, people throw out all these little things. Yeah, they did. That's why they came. It's just they didn't get connected. They didn't get connected. Sometimes people have lost their way. They've lost their family, friends, and they can't get there because they need you to find their way. They need people to value people. There has to be a value or else you'll never witness. If you don't value lost people, you'll never open your mouth. If you don't value people that are hurting and in the streets or people that are just religious, if you don't value them, you'll never reach out to them. You just think, oh, they're lost. They're lost. People are hungry. When we were in New Hampshire, there was a concert downtown. This was back in the 90s, and it was REO Speedwagon, a rock band back then, and they had a free concert in the park downtown. So I said, you know what, I'm going down there. Not to go for the music. I used to go for the music. But I said, I'm going down there. And I started walking down the street, and there's all these thousands of people and stuff, and all of a sudden I see a park bench over there, and there was a guy sitting on the park bench. And Holy Ghost. There's the spot. I go over and I sit down next to the guy and I just start, how do you like the music? Yeah, it's very good. You know, he's just kind of talking and everything. And then I turn and I just said, hey, has anybody ever shared the gospel with you? You know, anybody ever share it with you? I said, I'm not here to preach to you or anything. But I was. I'm not here to preach to you. Anybody ever tell you about Jesus? And he just looks at me and he gave me this look. And he said, you know, 2 minutes before you walked up, I said, God, are you real? God, are you real? Is there anything? And this guy, here's all these people in the rock concert and people standing around us. I said, let's pray and you'll find out. And he prayed with me right there on the sidewalk, right there on the bench, right in the middle of an REO Speedwagon concert. Never saw him again, but I know God touched him. The Holy Ghost touched him. He was lost, and somebody had to go find him. Somebody had to go find him. You and I are called to do that. That should be our everyday thing. Paul had a passion to find people. Paul had a passion. I've seen people come into church, get saved, get the glorious gospel that you and I got, and then nobody in the back shouts the victory. Nobody get excited. Oh, yeah, so-and-so got saved or something. Oh, yeah, you know, something happened. You know, people don't get excited. They get saved, and you don't help them. They're a babe in Christ. They're a babe. Guess what? Somebody gets saved, they may walk out the door, start lighting a cigarette and cussing up a storm and everything, because that's been their lifestyle. And you and I have got to go and help them. And we don't get excited and we let them go out the door and the wolves grab them. The enemy will take them back. The enemy will take them back, and you and I need to reach these people that are babes. You know, when a woman has a baby, they don't just set them out and just say, okay, grow. They feed them. They feed them every day. They nourish them. They watch for them. They care for them. They protect them. And we need to do that in the church. Or you'll never see what God wants to do, because God will say, well, they're not faithful with them. You know, can I preach today? I just want to let you know, God has so much. We see somebody in church and they're going through it. And what do? We see somebody in church and they're kind of, you see them struggling. You see them starting to fall away. You see them with different things in their life. You know what it says in Galatians 6:1? It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken by any trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Think of that. We look and we see somebody falling away and they just didn't have it. They didn't want it. They weren't as spiritual as me. God says, you're supposed to go get them. You go restore them. It's not Pastor Gary to run out after everyone. It's the church to run out after everybody. It's for you and I to say, you know what, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, they're not doing too good. I'll tell you what, I can remember the day. I can remember the day I got saved, and I don't know if you've ever been through this, but sometimes God doesn't move on your speed. He doesn't move fast enough for you. I got saved and I didn't have a job in 2 weeks, and I was used to working and I was used to making money and doing all kinds of things, and I didn't have a place to stay. I was just traveling. I was just traveling through Flagstaff, and the Holy Ghost grabbed me and I got saved. So instead of going on, I was planning Colorado or California. I had my map and I was just deciding which way to go. I was traveling around the country, and God got a hold of me and I got saved, and He hit me good. But He wasn't moving fast enough. And 2 weeks later, I was leaving town. And I can take you right to the guy. He called me up. He said, come over to my house before you leave. Come over to my house before you leave. So I drove over to his house and I left my beer on the dash and put the joint in the ashtray. Hey, I was back in the world. God wasn't moving. And I went up to his door because I thought he had a job for me. He was in construction. I thought, hey, I got something for you. Is that okay? I'll give you another chance. I go up to the door, and he says, come in. I went in and talked to him for a minute. He says, all I brought you over here for is to tell you, God has a plan for your life, and He loves you. He has something for you. And the Holy Ghost hit me again, right in his house. Said, somebody cared. Somebody cared for me. That was a Saturday. Sunday morning, I walked back in church. I didn't know hardly anybody, so I was on my own. I come into church, and the service was over. They were having their altar call already. I didn't even get to hear a priest. I walked straight in the back door, straight to the front, got on my knees, said, God, it's yours. Everything. And the Holy Ghost did it again. He just came over me. I said, God, you're all my life. Why did that happen? Because this young man said, God has a plan for you. This young man says, I care for you. He went out of his way. He went out of his way to show you. Sometimes you lose something and you don't even look for it because you don't think it's worthy. I lost something in my house. Oh, it wasn't worth much. Anyways, you get that? It wasn't worth much anyways. I'll just buy another one. I'm not going to look extra. You reach out to somebody for a couple of days, and then you say, I haven't talked to him in a while. I don't know. I didn't mean to get heavy on you this morning. But God's good. And God wants to reach people. And that's His heart. You know, there's three stories in the Bible. And Pastor Gary has been speaking about them sometimes in Luke 15. And there's three stories. One of them is the man with the lost sheep. The lost sheep. And what's he do? He leaves the 99 and he goes after one that's lost. Now, I don't believe he just took the 99, just left them out in a wild field and everything all alone so the wolves could come in there. I think he had somebody, under shepherds or whatever, to watch or said, watch them. I'm going after this one. I'm going after this long one. And he went and got the one, a woman with the lost coin. She had so many coins, says. And what'd she do? She probably set those aside, had them counted up, put them away, and then she went looking, searching through her house everywhere. Searching, saying, I lost this coin. You know, these stories, the third one is about the prodigal son. And the third one you hear, the one about them, let's throw a party. But when you read the book, all three of them, when they got the lost sheep, they gathered everybody together. Said, let's celebrate. Let's party. When the woman found her coin, she said, let's party. I found my coin. I found my iPhone. Let's party. You know, and you get in a place, it says heaven rejoices. All the angels start rejoicing when one sinner comes to the Lord. When you came to the Lord, heaven said, let's party. Because they came to the Lord. They got changed. They have a new life. And you and I have this, that we can go. And we need to be the party church. The man, the prodigal son, it says the father was looking afar off. He had a heart looking for that son coming back. He had a heart looking for him. And it says, and when he came, he didn't run out there and say, I told you you'd blow my money. Serves you right. I told you, you'd end up a mess. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, get the ring. Put the signet ring on him. Let him do business. Let him do business again. He's back in. Get sandals on his feet. He's not a slave. Slaves go without sandals. Put sandals on his feet again. Put the robe on him. And let's party. See, we need to be the party in church. We need to be the party in church. We need to be the people that rejoice when one person gets saved. I mean, people mean something to God. People mean something to God. Paul carried this burden. That was the burden Paul carried. When you read all through about Paul's life, you know, here's a scripture that blows me away. Want a good one? Romans 9, 1 to 3. With Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Listen to that. Paul says, you know what? I'd go to hell. I'd just soon give up everything and be forever cursed and split from you if it would save them. And that's not just talking about his kids and his family and his wife or husband. It's talking about the lost, those people that aren't so nice. If they would get saved, that was his heart. That was Paul's burden inside him. I just say, God, how can I catch just a little bit of the heart that Paul had? How can I catch just a tiny bit of the hunger for souls that I'll go past myself and I'll reach them? I'll go past myself and I'll reach out and I'll touch and I just want to bring somebody to Jesus. I just want to let them know. So what do? We pray. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. If they'll pray, I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I'll heal the land. He says, if you do this, God's always saying, who's going to go? Who's going to stand in the gap? You see the heart of God throughout the Bible. Who is going to go and share the gospel with people? Who's going to go and reach the lost? I shared before, I know a friend of mine, or a guy I used to know in our church. He went, he was a young guy, never been going to be behind a stage or anything like that. Went across the street to witness to a gang leader in Arizona. This gang leader had big earrings, long hair, carried a gun with him all the time. Gang leader from East St. Louis. Bad guy. The guy ended up getting saved that day. The guy went on to, he's pastored two churches of over 5,000 people. This other guy never did anything else. And he's actually gone on to be with the Lord. Got sick and went on to be with the Lord. And he's getting fruit like crazy that's coming forward right now. Getting fruit in his life because he went where nobody else would go. You're called to go where nobody else would go. You're called to go into that place. You're called to go. Matthew 28 says, go make disciples. Just don't say Jesus. Make disciples out of them. Teach them what to do that I've commanded you. Show them what to observe. Bring them into that place so they grow. See, that's what we're supposed to do. You want to see fire in the church? Tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. You want to see what you do? First thing you do is you pray for lost people. Pray for lost people. We're called to do that. Pray for the lost. Get a burden. Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Paul was saying, that's my heart's desire, that they'd be saved. That's my prayer, they'd be saved. If you get that burden, you'll start saying things that are crazy. You'll go past yourself. You'll say, did I really say that to them? I was witnessing to a guy here Friday, and he just... we just talked back and forth, and he's coming. He's going to make it. He can't run. He goes and finally turns and says, you know what? I'll never understand that Protestant religion of yours. I said, not with your head you won't. It's with your heart. Not with your head you won't. You aren't going to figure it out. You know, we need to learn. I was driving down the street one day in Flagstaff. I'm getting ready to wind down here. Driving down the street in Flagstaff, Arizona. God says to me, witness to that guy. See a guy on the back of a pickup. I'm driving home, almost home. My house is down the block. He says, witness to that guy. And I go, okay. And I go down to my house, which is down the block, and I walk back up the street. Hey, how you doing? Good. Never talked to the guy before. He just lived, you know, probably a dozen houses up. Never talked to him before. Started witnessing to him about Jesus. And he started, I don't want to hear it. And I finally just kept talking to him, different things, kept talking. He opened up. He said, my dad and my mom are both Assembly of God pastors. I'm backslidden. And I'm not ready. I said, you need to be ready. And I started sharing the love of Jesus with him. And the love of Jesus with him. And I said, okay, well, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. He didn't get saved right then. I'm believing for that night. You go, well, how do you know it was God then? Because the next day the guy was driving home from work and wasn't feeling too good. And he drove up to the hospital. He walked in, said his name, and fell dead, had a heart attack. Young guy in his late 20s. How do I know it was God? I may have been the last person to ever share the gospel with him. How do I know it was God? Because I'm praying to God that when he was not feeling good, he said, God, forgive me. I'm praying to God that night before when he was alone, because when they're alone, the Holy Ghost can talk to him. And he opened up. God knew the next day. God knows the appointed time, the next day that he was going to meet him. And God needed somebody to listen when the Holy Spirit prompts and says, witness to that person. And I'm believing I'll see the guy in heaven another 40 years when I go. Unless the rapture comes, I'll go then. You have to go and get... My wife was praying. Starts praying for our neighbors. You know, you ever... Yeah, I mean, how many ever really pray for your neighbors? Other, save that person. Short, I got a 4-second prayer. And she can pray, and she's praying for our neighbors. And what happens? The neighbors say, hey, you want to come over for Thanksgiving and have Thanksgiving, your family, with us? I'm going, Thanksgiving is football. Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions, Pittsburgh Steelers. It is 3 games of football. It is eaten until you go and say, oh, I shouldn't have eaten so much. And then you turn and say, honey, what's for dessert? And God, what if he doesn't like football? What if we go over to his house and he wants to just play some Sleepless in Seattle or some girl movie and I got to cry in front of somebody I don't know? You know what we're doing on Thanksgiving? We're taking our family and we're going over to their house. Because it's about them and it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about reaching the lost for Jesus. So the second thing you need to do is you need to befriend the lost. You need to befriend the lost. You say, oh, all my friends are saved. Really? All my friends are saved. Well, then you need to go find the lost. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. He hung around bad sinners. He didn't do what they did, but he hung out with them. He wasn't doing the sin. He didn't have to do it so he could relate with them. That's just for in case that ever comes out in your head. Don't do what they're doing so you can relate with them, but get there and share the gospel. Share the love of God. And Jesus was a friend of sinners. You and I are called to be salt and light. You guys are called to be salt and light. You know, if I took a flashlight right now and went out in the middle of this yard right here and I started shining this flashlight around, you wouldn't even see it. You wouldn't even know what it was doing. Because the light isn't meant to be in the light. The light is meant to be in the darkness. If I take the flashlight and go up on top of a mountain, you can see it for miles away. Because that's what we are. We're salt. If you're eating a big salty meal, an Italian meal, I like Italian food, and you're eating an Italian meal and it's got a lot of salt on it, and you pick up the salt shaker and you go like that, you aren't going to even know it. You aren't going to know it. But if you're eating bland food, and you just go with a little bit of salt, you go, wow, there's some taste. That's what you and I are called to be. Light and salt. You and I are called not to be light among light. We're supposed to, out of the love, we're supposed to be able to go out and cry out, you belong here. You're not here. You're lost. You're out there somewhere, but you belong here. You belong to know the gospel. You belong. So you need to befriend the lost. And the third thing you need is you need to remind yourself on how you used to be. Remind yourself. Sometimes as Christians, you know, we forget. We forget. Yeah, I'm so, no, don't say those words in front of me. My ears will hurt. I was in bars, construction, all kinds of things. I mean, I heard the words. I made up words in the middle of words before I was saved. But I tell you what, I can be around people and all of a sudden, somebody will cuss, and they'll look at me. Like, what are you going to say? Well, I'm not going to repeat it. You know? And you go, and we need to remember who we were. I remember who I was. I remember looking down the guns of guys wanting to kill me. I remember what it was like my dad having to come to jail and get me out. I remember what it was like, you know, following a friend of mine in city in a 30-mile-an-hour zone. He's doing 85 on his motorcycle, and I'm following him, watching him hit a parked car. Pow. I remember what my life was. I remember things that I did that I don't even mention anymore because God says he won't remember them, so I'm not going to remind him. But I remember the life that I was in. I remember the life that I had. I remember what he brought me out. And that keeps it. I like Zechariah 3:1-4. It says, "And the angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And the accuser Satan was there at the angel's right hand, making accusations against Joshua. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that's been snatched from the fire. Joshua's clothing was filthy and stood before the angel. And so the angel said to others standing there, take off the filthy clothes. And turning to Joshua, he said, see, I've taken away your sins, and now I'm giving you these fine new clothes. We need a fresh encounter of who we were. We're a brand pulled out of the fire. I was on the depths of hell. I spoke it. I will not live to 30. I told people, I laugh, I'm not living to 30. I'm living good now. Those words went out. And the only thing that stopped me was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know I would have died before I was 30. I hung around with bad people. I hung around with nasty people, and I had a heart that was just so hard and cold, hurting. On the outside, I mean, you asked me if I was a mess. I was a mess, but I wouldn't have told you that. I said, nah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Make good money. I work. I make good money. I spend it the way I want, and I do what I want. So don't bother me. I mocked Christians, I mocked pastors, I mocked preachers. I know what I was like. And I know how much God loved me. To say, no, I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. Don't live life your way, live life my way. I was lost. I was just like any of these lost. We need amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know? I once was lost, but now I'm found. You might have grown up just in church most of your life and didn't know Jesus until you were still lost, until you accepted Jesus, until you got the blood of Jesus to cleanse you free. You might have been religious. It will change you. It will change your life. It will change your family. But we need a burden. I say, God, give each and every person in here a burden for the lost. A fresh, fresh, fresh awakening for the lost. When they come in, they get saved, you gravitate to them. But they haven't taken a bath. That's okay. You know what you smell like when you don't take a bath? You know? But they don't think the way I think. That's okay. You need to think gospel. And the gospel says restore them. Restore them. It's not about you. We need to reach the world for Jesus. This world's crazy, crazy. And Jesus is coming back. And unless you and I do something about it. I mean, I believe God wants to double the size of this church. Triple the size of this church. But not with just churchy people. He wants to reach the lost. He wants to help them. You can pray for people. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Your family, you prayed for them for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, and they still haven't come to Jesus. They aren't there yet. Somebody can reach them the day before. Somebody can change something in their life and go click, and they come to their senses like the prodigal son. And they say, you know what? I need to get back home. I need to get back in that place. My kids, they need to get back in their place. I don't give up on them. I will not give up on them. I won't give up on people that are lost. I will not. Amen? Father, I pray right now for every person in here. Let these words start to ring within them. Let your spirit, not my spirit, your spirit touch them. Your words touch them right now. Father, I pray, let us have a burden that we can have faith for the lost. Faith for the lost right now. Faith for the lost. You know, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you might be in this place and you might be saying, you know what, I'm lost. I came out here, somebody brought me here. I don't know Jesus. I don't know what it's like to serve God. I just came out here today. Or you might be in your life and you might have fallen away, but you came out today. And you say, I'd like prayer because I am lost. And you'd like that. You want to just lift your hand real quick. Lift your hand up and down. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Jesus died for you. And He wants to give you a good life. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a future for you. His thoughts towards you are for peace and not evil, but for a future and a hope. Why don't we stand? Everybody stand now. We're going to go and pray. We're going to pray a simple prayer. And I'm just going to ask you to pray. Everybody pray. And as we do, you mean it in your heart. If you're in here and you've fallen away from the Lord, you're in here, mean it in your heart. Because that's all it needs to be is a heart prayer, not a mental prayer. God wants to touch you. Why don't you just repeat after me? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. You saw me lost and hurting. And you came down and you touched my life. I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. I thank you, Father, for giving your Son for me. And I ask you now, touch me, change me, restore me. I'll serve you and I'll walk after you from this day forward. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you've been here and you just prayed that, and maybe you've never prayed that before, all you needed to do was just ask God to forgive you, and He loved you enough that He did. He's forgiven you of everything. Though your sins be as scarlet, you'll be made as white as snow. And if you prayed that, you need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody. Stop at the counter back there. Say, you know what? I just prayed that prayer. I never prayed it before. Come and see the prayer partners. Prayer partners are going to come forward. Now, they're up here every week. They're up here for you. They're up here for everybody that's here. You got a prayer need that you need to go and join with somebody. The prayer partners are here so you can go and get your somebody to connect with, somebody to agree with, somebody to touch heaven. Because they can touch heaven and heaven will move for you. But if you're here and you've never prayed this before, come. Come, speak to us. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I'll be there for you. And I thank you. Today,
I'm just can't get away from, what a great word. I heard Jim kind of, the reason I asked, come on, great word. Great word. Shared a lot of the thoughts a couple weeks ago at Bible school, and I said, I want to have that, have you share it with the whole church. Guys, throw up a scripture real quick. Acts 11, 25 and 26. Over and over, Jim's talked about this today, just really the heart of God into searching, seeking, looking for people. He mentioned the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, mightily used by God. Crazy life before. He was persecuting the church. He was dragging people out of their house, dragging them to prison. He actually signed off on the letters the Bible says that would have people killed. He was hated. He was a notorious Christ hater. And yet, God miraculously showed up in his life and he supernaturally had an encounter with the living Jesus that got saved. But when he tried to join to the church said, no. We've heard about this dude. Bad dude. Bad dude, stay away from him. He's persecuting people. He's killing people. He's dragging them out of their houses. He's causing dads to be put in prison and killed. But there was one guy named Barnabas, who Barnabas heard his story, and Barnabas knew he was the real deal, knew he had a life change. So here's what Acts 11, verse 25 and 26 says. Look at this, New King James. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus. Tarsus is a city, to seek Saul. Verse 26, just notice this. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. He departed to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him. He left his city to go to some other city to seek Saul. Saul's name was changed to Paul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. God, over and over, has been saying today by the Holy Spirit that your my job is to seek people that Jesus wants to be found. That's everybody. His heart is for everybody. But specifically for you, this week, God is going to give you laser focus in your life and as you see somebody to say, I need to talk to them about Jesus. I need to seek them out. I need to seek them out. And I can hear maybe some of you saying, as I have before, and this is the last thing we'll say, you've been very patient this morning. What do I say? Gosh, I know Jim, he's talking about sitting at a park bench and talking about the gospel. What? I don't know nothing. Can I tell you what you tell, and you can tell everybody? Tell them your story. You got a story. I was lost. I was crazy. I did this. You should have known my life. Maybe I look good right now, but you should have seen me then. This is my story. Everybody has a testimony. Tell people your testimony. Father, thank you for today, an amazing word. Let us sense the passion of you to seek and save that which is lost. Lost coin, lost sheep, lost son, and you're searching. Let us live life on point today and this week specifically, reaching out to all kinds of people that are far away from you. We're going to be light in the darkness. We're going to make it shine for Jesus Christ. In your amazing name. Come on, amen and amen. Come on, amen, amen, amen. If we can help you pray in any way, that's why the prayer partners are here. We're going to close the service right now. We want to be a blessing in your life. Have an amazing week.